Well, I want to apologize because, like you, I was hoping that the question-answer session with Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Schechter could continue and we could skip this part of the program because I was enjoying it very, very much. So I apologize for having that cut short so that you have to sit through this. It is very difficult for me to speak on Yom HaAtzmaut because it's a very emotional day. I tend to fall apart in highly emotional situations. You can ask any of my children, they'll tell you that. I speak in shul every Shabbos. I remember at my son's Ofrev, I couldn't make it through without breaking down. I'm reminded a friend of mine told me that at his daughter's wedding, he had been cool the whole time. And at the chasen tish, he turned to the chasen and he said, "I love you. I'm so excited that you're about to marry my daughter. And what is about to happen has nothing to do with you." And then he just bawled the rest of the way through the wedding. So Yom HaAtzmaut has that sense of emotion. And when you layer in the extreme guilt that I and probably many of you feel in being here, as we see Jewish destiny and the promises of the Nevi'im playing out in Eretz Yisrael, it makes it that much more challenging. You know, I personally keep my Waze on Hebrew language. Before I drive anywhere, the nice Waze lady says, "Bone tzela derech, sab zihirut," and I feel a sense of longing, a sense of a very healthy kind of guilt. But even so, I think it's very important, and I apologize if I'm shouting, but I've learned not to trust yeshiva's microphones. Even so, I think it's important to talk about our connection to Eretz Yisrael and to this very, very special day of Yom HaAtzmaut, because I could be wrong about this, but I believe that there is a sense among many B'nai HaYeshiva that they're not exactly sure what this day is. We are modern Orthodox, let's say, if that's your preferred label. But is this like a modern thing, or is this like an Orthodox thing? Part of the confusion stems from the fact, that was alluded to before, that there are many very frum people that at least externally, despite whether it's a shtick or not, but externally do not celebrate at all. Part of the confusion comes from the fact that the way in which many celebrate doesn't really seem to be religious at all. And even those who do celebrate in a spiritual way seem to be making up a lot of the rules as they go along. And we're therefore in danger of not appreciating the tremendous spiritual significance, not just political significance, spiritual, ruchniistic significance of what today is. I'll share with you, I was talking to a Talmud recently, and I mentioned that line that Moreno Rav Schechter Shlita writes in Bikvei Hatzon, where he compares very briefly Yom HaAtzmaut to Lag BaOmer. How Lag BaOmer, you're certainly not allowed to be Koveya Yom Tov, but you're allowed to skip Tachnun, whereas Yom HaAtzmaut, we have a Rishus to be Koveya Yom Tov. And one of the Bnei Yeshiva and our Yeshiva said, "What do you mean? One of them was made by a Tana, and the other one was made by an Apikores." And leaving aside the accuracy of either side of that equation, I think it's important for us to recognize what exactly today is and why it is that it's so significant. And I would like to highlight 2 points about Eretz Yisrael, and then 2 points about celebrating Hakamas HaMedina. Time permitting, I will skip. If I have to compete with hot dogs, I will allow the hot dogs to win. When I was a bacher in Keren B'Yavneh, in my first year, at that time in history, every young man learning in yeshiva, and I think every young lady learning in seminary, but that's not something that I would know, would learn a sefer called Hegyone Halacha. You go away for Shabbos, you get dressed up in your suit, so because why would you have to pack anything? Your packing for Shabbos consists of taking your toothbrush, putting it in this pocket, and taking your Hegyone Halacha and carrying it under your arm. Written by Rabbi Mirsky, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in BMT, and Rabbi Mirsky, and then I took it off the shelf recently. It's full of my wife's notes on the side, and I saw why the sefer was so popular. It's very enjoyable. And Rabbi Mirsky makes a few points about Klal Yisrael's unnatural connection to Eretz Yisrael that I think are worth highlighting. Our connection and our bond with Eretz Yisrael is unlike and qualitative differently from our bond with other things in our lives. First, we inherited the land before we were physically there. The relationship started before we even met. It was like a chassidish shidduch. The Bris Bein HaBesarim was not just a promise for the future. As soon as it was promised, it became ours. Hashem didn't say, Lezarecha etein es ha'aretz hazot, but Lezarecha nasati es ha'aretz hazot, in the past tense. The Yerushalmi in the second parak of Chala says that that's significant in that we had already acquired the land in the days of Avram Avinu. We assume Eretz Yisrael, Yerusha Hili Yisrael, Mei Avoseinu, as the Gemara Bava Basra Kuf Yud Zayin highlights. The Gemara Bava Basra, which you guys know a lot better than me, I'm learning Shabbos this year, says that this has a nafkamina la halacha. Because when Yeshua conquered the land, even though a Bechor only gets Pishnayim, B'muchsak V'lo B'ratwi, and neither Tzlavcha nor his father actually saw the land, his daughters inherited his chelek habechora that he got from his father, because it was indeed muchzak, because you don't have to be there for it to be muchzak biyadenu. And a second way that our connection is unnatural is that the land waited for us. In the Tochav B'chukosai, Hashem addresses the concern that we will feel the land is lost to us on account of our averos. So the Torah tells us, and Rashi, the way Rashi interprets the Pasuk, that the land is going to be desolate, the Pasuk says, and Rashi says, Zum mida tova li Yisrael. That's a favor to the Jewish people. Shlo yimtzu ha'ayvim nachas ruach bi'artzam. That our enemies will not find an ability to live pleasantly in our land. The Ramban there explains that the Churban of Eretz Yisrael was unnatural in its scope, unnatural in how long it lasted. Nobody throughout history seems to have figured out how to build up what is a magnificent land. Everybody in the ancient and modern worlds wants a piece of it, but nobody could figure out what to do with it and how to make it flourish. Lo Timtza, says the Ramban, Bekol Yishuv, Eretz Asher Hi Tova Urechava, Vasher Eson Osheves. And what happened? Vihi Chareva, and it's left desolate. Ki Me'oz Yatsanu Mimena, Lo Kibla Uma V'lashon. The land itself would not absorb anybody else. V'kula Mishtadlim Lo Shiva, says the Ramban. They all wanted, they tried, but they all failed. There are so many things that we can see in Eretz Yisrael that will touch the deepest parts of your neshama. Moreinu Agor Rav Shechter Shlita just pointed out about smelling the peiros ha'aretz as you're traveling on the roads in between one yeshiva and another yeshiva, leaving aside what happens in the yeshivos hakadoshos, just smelling the peiros ha'aretz. I'll tell you what does it for me. When I see the number of cranes all over the place, the amount of construction going on, the building that is happening, is something that has only been done by the Jewish people and was reserved for Klal Yisrael. It's very difficult not to see in all of that building the infrastructure and the framework for Bias HaMashiach being built. The Ramban's love for Eretz Yisrael is well documented. What we've been able to accomplish there is something he would have been so jealous of. I have a poster in my sukkah a friend of mine made for me with a quote from Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, which says, what the Ramban wouldn't have given to be a Rosh Yeshiva of a Hesder Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. But another element of Eretz Yisrael to highlight today is that it brings out the best in the Jewish people. Because all people thrive in their native environment. The Medrash records Moshe Rabbeinu complained, Ribono Shel Olam, Atzmosav Shel Yosef, Nichnasin La'aretz. Yosef's bones get to enter Eretz Yisrael. V'ani eini nichnas. I don't get to enter Eretz Yisrael. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem responded, Mi shehoda ba'artzo nikvar bi'artzo, U'mi shelo hoda ba'artzo eino nikvar bi'artzo. Yosef felt a connection to Eretz Yisrael. Yosef expressed a connection to Eretz Yisrael. You didn't. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't express a connection to Eretz Yisrael. It's all he dreamed about, all he yearned for. He was Moser Nefesh to be able to bring Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. What the Medrash is referring to spells it out. The Medrash says, because Yosef was known as an Ish Ivri, everyone knew where he came from. Whereas Moshe was Ish Mitzri. He came from Mitzrayim, he didn't come from Eretz Yisrael. So he doesn't identify with Eretz Yisrael, and the kasha is obvious. Yosef actually physically came from Eretz Yisrael. So of course he's an Ish Ivri. Moshe Rabbeinu never saw Eretz Yisrael.
Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Mitzrayim and raised. So that's why he was an Ish Mitzri. He's faulted for that. And one of the Hasidic Rebbes explained that yes, because we're all natives of Eretz Yisrael, whether we've been there or not. And for us to maximize our potential, we have to appreciate that connection and explore that connection. The Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Zayin says that Elisha, so the Navi tells the story of when Elisha cursed the Na'arim who were Mevazahim. They called him a bald person. And the Gemara expounds on the story, what exactly they were calling him, what exactly was the conversation. But the Pasuk says, what happened was, two bears came out of a forest and attacked these children. It was a tragic event. And there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether what occurred next was a nes or a nes betoch nes. One opinion is that Elisha was walking in a forest, but there were no bears in that forest. Hashem made a nes, and he put bears in the forest, and those bears attacked the Na'arim. The other opinion is that Elisha was walking. He was walking down Central Avenue. He was walking down Amsterdam Avenue. He was walking in a regular place. There was no forest anywhere near there. No bears. And Hashem created the forest and created the bears, and it was a nes b'toch nes. And the Gemara asks, why the first nes? Once you're going to make the bears anyway, just bring the bears. Don't make the forest. What do you need the forest for? They didn't really play. The forest doesn't really play a significant role. And the Gemara answers that bears outside of their native environment will not be as ferocious. They will not be powerful. Because people and animals, everybody thrives in their native environment. Eretz Yisrael is the native environment of the Jew. The Gemara in Maseches Bechoros tells us a similar idea. That Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was telling the Kesar that the Chachma of the Jewish people was superior to that of other Chachamim who were considered to be the most brilliant members of society. Long story, but the Kesar refused to accept it, and he said, let's see if you can bring them to me, and somehow, even though they never left their place, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya tricked all of these Chachamim to get onto a boat with 60 rooms, each with 60 chairs, not going to go into all the details, and he brings them there, and he fills up a box of dirt from their native location, and he presents these Chachamim to the Kesar, and the Kesar sees these dejected people who look like bent over and the most unimpressive people you can imagine. These can't be the world famous Chachamim. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya at that point takes out the box of dirt that he had taken from their native land, that he had brought on the boat, and he emptied it in front of them. And as soon as they smelled their native dirt, they were rejuvenated. They regained their strength and their vigor. Apparently people thrive in their natural environment. The natural environment of a Jew is in Eretz Yisrael. The natural environment of a Jew is in the Torah. The natural environment of the Torah is in Eretz Yisrael. In the Sefer Hagyonei Halacha that I referred to before, he quotes from Meir Chadash, who was a Mashkiach in Chevron, who said that when they called the initial group of Bachrim to come from Slabatka, now, the Alter did, probably the most audacious thing the Alter ever did was to pick up his entire yeshiva and move it to Eretz Yisrael in 1920. But before that, I guess, they called some of the Bachrim to, I guess, a trial run, I don't know. And they went to Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Meir Chadash said, the guys who went were not the Mitzionim. The Mitzionim stayed with their Rebbeim. The people who heeded the call, they were the mid-level Bachrim. But he said, Kimon, all of them went to Eretz Yisrael to learn. And they became outstanding Rabbanim and Dayanim. Because Avira Eretz Yisrael Machkim, we're more capable of thriving in our native environment. Today, look around this space medrash. How many of us have succeeded to the extent that we have in learning without that huge boost that we got from the time we spent in Eretz Yisrael? For Mitzianim, maybe for Mitzianim it doesn't make a difference. Rav Schechter has learned his whole life in our yeshiva. But for mid-level people, for regular people, we thrive on it. It builds us up. So today is a day where we celebrate the ability to connect to Eretz Yisrael on such a deep level. I don't want to talk too long about what the heter to celebrate is during Sfira. I would say that if you're a Talmud of this yeshiva,
you should have learned already, and if you haven't yet, you should now take out a Sefer Be'ikve Atzon and read through Rav Schechter's piece on Medinas Yisrael and Milcham Al-Seha, beginning to end. You have to at least know what we hold. At least know what our Shita is based on. Moreno Rav Schechter tells us all the time, you want to be able to tell the difference between a Talmud Chacham and someone who pretends to be a Talmud Chacham. Someone who pretends to be a Talmud Chacham has a lot of opinions. The Talmud Chacham is able to back them up with Mar Mekomos. So do we have any Mar Mekomos, or is this what we feel? So learn through the Mar Mekomos. Learn through the sources of what it's based on. How we can define the beginning of the Geula process as Lahamid Lahamelech, as what we've seen, being able to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and yes, it does count as a Jewish government. That's an easy one. You don't have to learn that much Navi to know what qualifies as a Melech Yisrael is not necessarily the frumest person in the world. And it's important to recognize miracles when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes them. We just heard Moreno Rav Willard Shlita describe being in Eretz Yisrael in 1967, awaiting another expected Holocaust. And the Yeshuas Hashem and the Nisim, these aren't Nisim Nistarim. Nisim Gluyim, that people we can talk to, witnessed. And it's the continued survival is an ongoing Nis. I try to be an open-minded person. I try to understand different Ashkafos, even if they're not my own. But one Ashkafa that I have a lot of trouble relating to is the one that largely ignores the ongoing miracles of the past 74 years, as if there's nothing to see here. I could sooner understand the Neturei Karta Shita, Maisa Satan, I can't really understand that so well either, but I could sooner understand that than those who just seem to ignore everything that's happened. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Dalet paskins that when one encounters a place where a miracle happened to the Jewish people or to him personally, he should recite a bracha. The Ramban al Torah asks that considering Moshe Rabbeinu's incredible koach hatfila, it's difficult to understand why he never davened to lose his speech impediment. You know how difficult it is for a person with a significant speech impediment? How difficult it is for them to communicate with other people? How humiliating it could be sometimes? How self-conscious they probably are every time they open their mouths. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu daven for it to go away? And the Ramban says, because if you know the Medrash Rabbah, that speech impediment came because of a miracle that happened when he was a young boy, and the Malach moved his arm from one place to the other. And you don't hide from a nes. You don't hide from a miracle. You embrace a miracle for the rest of your life. You recall a miracle. You connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam through the Nisim that He has done for us. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Vav tells us that when Eliyahu HaNavi said, Aneini Hashem, Aneini, he said it twice. Once as a tefillah that the fire would descend from Shemayim, and once that people wouldn't dismiss it as a Maisek Shafin. That people should recognize that it's a miracle. So we have to recognize the Nisim of today, exactly how we celebrate. Okay, maybe Klal Yisrael is still trying to figure it out. But the regesh, the feeling that we should have, the emotion we should be overcome with, the sense that we get to see things that our grandparents and great-grandparents could only have dreamed of. We have a long tradition of holy Jews being very expressive in showing their love for the land of Israel. Look at the sugyas at the end of Maseches Ksubas that speak about the Chachamim kissing the ground or moving to the most comfortable place, whether it be the sun or the shade, to try to find the best air conditioning in Israel. Not because they wanted to be comfortable, because they didn't want to be tempted to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. We're even allowed to be impulsive and emote without even thinking first, when it comes to Torah and when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. It's Gemara Shabbos Pei Zayin. Rava was called by Itzduki, he was called an impulsive person from an impulsive nation who was Makdim Nasa L'Nishma, and that's okay because he was learning Torah. And your love for Torah should be so great that it doesn't always have to be Cheshbon. And the Gemara in Ksubis tells us a similar story about Rabbi Zeira, that he went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and he couldn't find a passageway to cross the Yarden, so he decided, oh, there's a high wire. I could become a circus act, and I could go across a high wire to Eretz Yisrael. And that's crazy. Who does that? But we're allowed to be impulsive when it comes to going to Eretz Yisrael. I have a cousin who worked very hard in college to be able to get a job, didn't come from a family of much means, and he got a job in a law firm, but not like one of the jobs you know you guys are going to aim for if you go for a law firm. It was what they call a staff attorney, you know, not really on the partner track. And he worked, and he worked, and he worked, and he finally, he became an associate, which means he was on the partner track, and he started finally making money. And then one day, like soon after that, he said, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, you found a job there? No. I'm not recommending this. That's what he did. He said, it's just where we belong. I can't sleep at night anymore. And he picked up his family and he went to Eretz Yisrael without a job. And thank God he's doing very well now. It's a beautiful house. I think he's doing well. Somebody paid for it. I asked my uncle who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who moved to Rehovot in the 1970s. I said, how do you make it? How do you... do the math. And he said, it's simple. If I earn $100, I spend $150 and I save the rest. It's an existence of Nisim. And that's okay, because we're Malumad B'Nisim in Eretz Yisrael. We're seeing Nisim B'Toch Nisim. The Pasuk says, that we read in Halal today, but those said, Evan Ma'asu Habonim Ha'Yisrael L'Rosh Pina. The very Evan that the Bonim, that the builders were disgusted by and rejected, became the cornerstone. You know, I've often said the Vart, I thought it was always a great Vart, that the building up of Eretz Yisrael happened on two planes, and it continues to happen on two planes, physically and spiritually. And the people who were building the land spiritually were Moes in those who were building it physically. And those who were building it physically were Moes in those who were building it spiritually. They thought the other one was doing something terrible. Each one is suspicious of the other one. But Ha'isal Rosh Pina, which the Bonim who were building it spiritually were building something that became a Rosh Pina, and now have to acknowledge that those who were building it physically were building the Rosh Pina, and vice versa. But it's more than that. Think of all the Apikorsim who wanted to rid the Jewish people of Ruchnius, who wanted to sacrifice all of Torah on the altar of Zionism. That they were willing to throw it all away. And guess what? That government that they built became the greatest supporter of Torah in the history of humanity. They became the spiritual builders. And vice versa. Those that have no interest in the Medina, I have no interest in building up a country, I have no interest in any of that stuff. I just want to learn Torah. But if you're going to be there and you're going to exist there, you're going to work there and you're going to contribute to society, and they're building up. Building up a country. All that housing is being built because the Haredim continue to grow and grow. You know, I'm the Zionist in my family. I mean, we have many Zionists in my family. My sister is the non-Zionist. She's the only one who lives in Israel. She has 12 children living in Israel. Who's building Eretz Yisrael? Clearly, Eretz Yisrael is not the only mitzvah in the Torah. And we can't sacrifice tzinius and Yerushamayim and everything else on the altar of Eretz Yisrael. But it's a foundational mitzvah and a critical value in Judaism. And that is why Rav Soloveitchik, in the recently released video from the 10th anniversary of Hakamas HaMedina, was completely dismissive of the whole conversation about whether Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is in the Minyan HaMitzvos, not in the Minyan HaMitzvos. Irrelevant. Some Rishonim don't have Emunah B'Hashem in the Minyan HaMitzvos, because some things are too foundational to be included in the Minyan HaMitzvos. But it's a foundation, and it's something that we have to recognize as a Yisod that we get to see play out before our very eyes. We're living in a generation of miracles, and each and every day is a continued miracle. And we should see Be'ezras Hashem, that miracle continue to unfold, and hopefully unfold even more quickly, so that we'll be able to get to the point of full Geula, which involves the Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'mehera V'yameinu. Thank you.